The scripture reading this afternoon is in Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2, 23 through 25. And the title in my Bible, it says, God Hears Israel's Groaning. During those many days, the king of Egypt died, and the people of Israel groaned because of their slavery and cried out for help. Their cry for rescue from slavery came up to God, and God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. God saw the people of Israel, and God knew.
I would encourage you to have your Bible open back up to the book of Exodus, chapter 2. Our study is going to come from the text that we had read for us just a moment ago. I want to talk about what God does when his people suffer. I'd like for us to back up a little bit to verse 11 in Exodus chapter 2, verse 11. It says, Now it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown, that he went out to his brethren and looked at their burdens, and he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren. So he looked this way and that way, and when he saw no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two Hebrew men were fighting. And he said to the one who did the wrong, Why are you striking your companion? And he said, Who made you a prince and a judge over us? Do you intend to kill me as you killed the Egyptian? So Moses feared and said, Surely this thing is known. When Pharaoh heard of this matter, he sought to kill Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian. And he sat down by a well. This text tells us of the important pivotal time in the life of Moses when he decided to go out and identify himself with his brethren, the Hebrews. The book of Hebrews has a lot to say about this incident, this time in Moses' life. He had killed an Egyptian and thought no one knew. And when he tried to intervene with his brethren, they rejected his intervention, and they resented the idea that he was appointing himself as a ruler, a judge over them, and also exposed the fact that they knew about him killing the Egyptian. So Moses became afraid, and rightly so. Pharaoh found out about it and sought to kill him, and he fled. And when Moses fled to Midian, that's really where the attention went. The attention went to where Moses was at, and he was there for 40 years. And there he got a wife, and he had a son born unto him. And that's where the attention of the Exodus account is at. But we look down here at verses 23 through 24 that we had read for us just a moment ago. This passage that we have is telling us about what was happening back in Egypt while Moses was in Midian. While he was away, the king that sought his life had died. But nothing changed with regard to the children of Israel. They were still in bondage, and their suffering continued, and they groaned and they cried out, and their cry came up to God. It's in this short passage, these three verses, that we would be tempted to just read over and keep going. It's in these verses, though, that if we stop and look, we can learn some very important things about God. Here we are pretty early on in the Bible. We're in the second book of the Bible, and as we're reading through, we're learning a lot of different things, and among them we're learning about God. And think about this, whenever you meet anyone for the first time, and you begin to get to know that person, a lot of what you know is from give and take in conversation. You'll ask questions, or you'll share stories with one another, and you get to know the person by talking with them. And they talk to you and they tell you about themselves. But every once in a while, that will be interrupted and you'll see them have an exchange with somebody else. Or you'll see them talk with somebody else or react to something. And you learn some about them during those times as well. And it seems as if this is one of those times that we learn about God in these few verses. It's just a couple of things that are mentioned here. In fact, four things. But in these verses, we learn a lot about God. Specifically, we learn about God's interest in and His involvement in the lives of His people as they are suffering. Moses had deserted his people. He had fled, but God had not. every once in a while we find ourselves like these Israelites who were left in Egypt. And we began to look around about us and we began to ask, does God see the things that I'm going through? Does God really know the things that I'm suffering? And does God care? Because I can't see any indication at all that God knows and God cares. He hasn't intervened in any way. Is God really hearing my prayers? I'm praying unto God, and sometimes I think I'm talking to the ceiling. Does God really hear my prayer? Why isn't God doing something to help me? You had to know that's the way the children of Israel were thinking as they went through this 400 plus years of servitude to Israel. But this passage that we're looking at tells us that God knew. That God knew what was going on. There are four verbs that are found in verses 24 and 25. Four things that God did as a response to Israel groaning about their suffering. And as we look at these four verbs, and that's going to be our outline, we're going to go through, we're going to look at these four verbs, we're going to see how God reacted to their suffering. And then, of course, we need to make the application to our lives as individuals today and see that we serve the same God who cares and the same God who reacts as He did here in Exodus chapter 2. So I want us to consider what God does when His people suffer. Number one, the text tells us that God heard their groaning. God heard their groaning. It wasn't that Israel was necessarily verbalizing a prayer or a petition unto God. No doubt they were praying during this time. But the text says that God heard their groaning. And their groaning would have been throughout the day, from day to day, because of the things that they were going through. Their situation, it never changed. And they were groaning because of their suffering, and God heard their burden. So this passage tells us, number one, we serve a God who hears the cries of His people. But the text also shows us that God does more than just hear. When God hears the groans of His people, when God hears them suffering under the weight of their burden, God responds to what He hears. Let me pull out a couple other passages. In the book of Judges, at chapter 2, and verse 18, it says that the Lord was moved to pity by their groaning. Here again, the children of Israel were groaning because they rejected God and God had given them over to their enemies and they were serving them and they were groaning and God heard them. But the text says that God was moved to pity. And so He interacted in a way that brought about their deliverance. In the book of James, at chapter 5 and verse 4, this passage is addressed to those who would be mistreating others, who would be withholding their wages. And the text says, the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord. The cries of the reapers, whose wages you have held back, their cries have reached the ears of the Lord. See again, the Lord hears the groaning of His people when they are being wronged and when they are suffering. Now, it's not that the children of Israel had gotten God's attention by groaning. Think about the contest that took place on Mount Carmel. Remember when Elijah took on the 450 prophets of Baal, and they offered up their sacrifice, and they screamed, and they hollered all day long, and Elijah began to taunt them. Say, you need to scream louder. Your God is gone on vacation. He's asleep. You need to get His attention. Listen to me. We never have to get God's attention. We always have God's attention. The problem is that God doesn't have our attention. That's the problem. Let me tell you, God knows what's going on with us. He knows before we cry out. When we cry out, He hears. He has our attention. He knows. Let me say that right. He knows what's going on with us. God is always listening. He was listening to them. and He is listening to us. In Psalm 34, verses 17 and 18. Psalm 34, verses 17 and 18. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. You see, our God is not a God who is far off. Our God is a God who is near, and He hears when we cry out. So the one thing we learn about God is that God hears us when we groan and when we pray. Secondly, the text says that when God heard their groaning, that God remembered the covenant. He remembered His covenant that He had made with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. What was that covenant? Well, that covenant is spoken of back in Genesis chapter 15. I want to go back and read these verses. God has promised Abraham, who has no children, that his descendants would be as the stars of heaven and as the sand of the seashore. Genesis chapter 15, verse 13. Then He said to Abram, "Know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and will serve them, and they will afflict them 400 years. And also the nation whom they serve I will judge. Afterward they shall come out with great possessions. Now as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried at a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall return here, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. And it came to pass, when the sun went down and it was dark, that behold, there appeared a smoking oven and a burning torch that passed between those pieces. On the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, 'To your descendants I have given this land.'" God made a promise to Abraham. He said, "Now listen, your descendants, they're going to go into a foreign nation and they're going to be afflicted there, but I'm going to visit them and I'm going to bring them out to this land right here." Well, you fast forward to Exodus chapter 2, there they are. They're in the foreign land. They've been there four generations. They're being afflicted. God hears them crying out and groaning, and the text says God remembered the promise that He made to Abraham. God promised Abraham that He was going to do something with His people in this foreign land. That He was going to judge the nation that was tormenting them. He was going to bring them out and bring them to that land. And so, when God heard, the text says God remembered, and that tells us that God began to act to bring about the fulfillment of His promise to Abraham. This is when God sprung into action. He began to act to bring them out and deliver them to the land of Canaan. God is a God who remembers His promises. Now in Psalm 105, verses 42 through 45, talks about the deliverance of Israel from Egypt. And it begins with this statement that you see, God remembered His holy promise. God didn't look down on Israel there in Egypt and hear them groaning and say, "You know what? I ought to do something about this. This isn't right. This isn't fair." No. God had made a promise some 400 years before. He knew exactly what He was going to do, and He kept His promise. He kept His word. What this statement is emphasizing, the statement that says that God remembered His covenant, what this statement is emphasizing is the faithfulness of God. You mark this down. We serve a faithful God. We serve a God who is willing and able to keep His promises. And His promises are not dependent upon our faithfulness. God's faithfulness is not dependent upon our faithfulness. That's the way we act sometimes. We will do unto others as we have been done unto ourselves. And sometimes our faithfulness will depend upon someone else's faithfulness. That's not the case with God. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 through 13, this is a faithful saying. "For if we died with Him, we shall also live with Him. If we endure, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. If we are faithless, He remains faithful, He cannot deny Himself. You see, our God's faithfulness is not dependent upon us. Our God's faithfulness is dependent upon His character and His nature. And He keeps His promises. He keeps His word. God is a faithful God. God made a promise to Abraham. And God kept that promise. You know what? God has made a promise to us. God has given us exceedingly great and precious promises. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4 says, "And the God who kept His promise to Abraham will keep His promise to us." It doesn't matter what we go through, what we have to endure in this life, if we remain faithful, God will keep His promise to us. God is a God who remembers His word. Third, the text in Exodus chapter 2 says that God looked upon the children of Israel. God looked upon the children of Israel. That is, God wanted the children of Israel to know that He had seen what was happening to them. When you go to chapter 3, Exodus chapter 3, here God is speaking to Moses. He has appeared in the burning bush, and He's convincing Moses that he needs to go back to Egypt. He needs to go back to the Israelites, and they need to go before Pharaoh and demand to be let go. Moses didn't want anything to do with it, because 40 years earlier, Moses tried to lead the people, and they rejected him, and that's why he ran away. And he doesn't want to go back, and God is convincing him that he needs to go back. Verse 15, "Moreover, God said to Moses, 'Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together, and say to them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared to me saying,'" note this, "'I have surely visited you and seen what is done to you in Egypt.'" God wanted Moses to go back and tell the children of Israel that He had seen what was happening to them. He had visited them. He knew it. He had seen it firsthand. He hadn't heard a rumor. Someone hadn't taken some message to God, and God hadn't heard about it second or third hand. God was with them. God saw what happened to them. God knew what was going on. And God wanted them to know that He knew. And look at the difference that this made. You go down in chapter 4 and verse 31, Moses goes back, and he tells the children of Israel what God has said. "So the people believed, and when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel and that He had looked on their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshipped." Look at the difference that that made in the lives of the children of Israel. For them to know that God had been there and that God had seen and God knew what was going on and that God was going to do something about it. They worshipped God. What a difference that made unto them. Psalm 34, verses 15 and 16, tells us that God's attention is fixed upon His people. "The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth." This passage tells us that God looked upon His people, that God visited His people, and He looked upon them. In this passage, the word "looked" means more than simply seeing or noticing. It has the idea of knowing firsthand. He was there. He visited them. He moved in and among them. God was carefully examining the experiences of His people. He knew all about their situation. He knew the guilt of Pharaoh and the Egyptians. He knew the hardships and the cruelty that they had endured at the hands of their taskmasters. God knew. We serve that same God today. We serve a God who knows us and who knows what we are going through and knows about the hardships that we face. Maybe it's a physical ailment. Maybe it's a disease, a sickness that we're struggling with. Maybe it's a physical problem that we can't get over. Maybe it's a family problem. There's family between ourselves and our loved ones. Maybe it's a financial burden. Maybe it's grief and mourning loss. Whatever it is, God knows exactly what we're going through. God has seen it. No one has had to tell God. God knows exactly what we are going through. And then finally in this text, in Exodus chapter 2, it says that God acknowledged them. That God heard them, God remembered His covenant, God looked upon them, and God acknowledged them. In all the translations that I use in my study, all of these verbs are rendered the same way, whether it be New King James or King James, New American Standard. But when we get down to this last one, there's a difference in the translations. I wanted to show you. The New King James Version says that God acknowledged them. The King James Version says that God had respect unto them. The New American Standard Version says that God took notice of them. The English Standard Version, which most likely is what Ken was reading from, simply says, God knew. God knew. But here's the last of these four verbs. What does this mean, that God acknowledged them? That God had respect unto them, took notice of them, or God knew them? Back up a little bit in the book of Exodus to chapter 1. In chapter 1, in verse 8, it says, Now there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. It's as if whatever time had transpired between the life of Joseph and this particular king, other kings knew about him. They knew about what Joseph had done and how the actions of Joseph, and really the actions of God through Joseph, had spared that nation. And not only had spared them, but had allowed them to prosper because other nations came to them to buy grain. And so the nation of Egypt prospered greatly because of Joseph and Joseph's God. And the king at that time, the Pharaoh at that time, had allowed his family to come down and to live in the land of Goshen, and everything was fine until this one king came to power who didn't know that. He didn't know about Joseph. And that means he didn't have any respect for what Joseph had done. He didn't have any respect for him. He didn't have any respect for what his predecessors, the other pharaohs, how they had honored Joseph, or how they had accepted Joseph's people in among them. Didn't know them. Didn't have any respect for them at all. Did not honor the agreement that had been made with the previous king. Well, you take that and you contrast it. Whatever it is that that one king didn't do with regard to Joseph is exactly what God did with regard to His people. He did remember them. He did remember the promise that He made to Abraham, and He did honor that promise. And He respected His people. He acknowledged them as the recipients of His blessing through the promise He made with Abraham. The Hebrew word here that is translated acknowledged or respect or notice or knew, the Hebrew word came to mean to approve. To approve of someone or to approve of something. Think about the children of Israel. Think about how they've been suffering. They've been there in Egypt for 400 years. They've been suffering at the hands of the Egyptians. Their physical situation may have caused them to feel abandoned and alone. But God acknowledged them as His people. They were not alone. And God was going to keep the promises that He had made concerning them. They were going to be delivered. But the Hebrew word also meant to know by experience. To know by experience. Not just to know, but to know by experience. And that tells us, that indicates that God not only knew about their suffering, but that God was suffering along with them. They weren't suffering in the absence of God. Although God was remaining silent, God was actually suffering along with them. Does God really suffer when His people suffer? Well, in Acts chapter 9, whenever Saul of Tarsus is converted, when the Lord appears unto Saul, you remember in Acts chapter 9, it says, verse 3, "And he journeyed and came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And he said, 'Who are you, Lord?' Then the Lord said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads.'" We all know, who was Saul persecuting? He was persecuting the church. He was persecuting Christians. He was persecuting God's people. But what did Jesus say from His perspective? "Saul, you're persecuting me." Who was it that was suffering while Israel was down in Egypt? Well, of course, the Israelites were, but God was as well. Because when His people were suffering, He was suffering. And we serve this same God. And we serve this same Lord. And that tells us that when we suffer for the cause of Christ, Christ suffers with us. We are not alone in our suffering. So this gives us some comfort. And it gives us some hope. Brother, I want to tell you, we've got a short passage here at the end of chapter 2 in the book of Exodus. And it is somewhat of a transitionary passage, just telling us, oh, by the way, here's what was happening back in Egypt while Moses was gone. I tell you, there was a lot that was happening in Egypt. And there was a lot that was happening between God and His people, Israel, back in Egypt. So we shouldn't glance over passages like this. It's passages like this that help us to learn more about God and come to appreciate God even more. What are some lessons that we need to learn from these two verses that we can apply to our lives today, this afternoon? Well, number one, our God is ever present, even when it seems like He's not. He's here. It's easy for us to think about God's presence in our lives while we're in an assembly like this. And we're singing praises unto Him, and we're praying unto Him. We're remembering the death of His Son, and we're reading from His Word. But when we step out into the world, and we go back into the workplace, pretty soon we'll be going back to school. For some of you, it's when you go back home. Sometimes it's hard to remember that you're in the presence of God. But I'll tell you that you are. There's no place that you and I can go where we're not in the presence of God. Now, we can leave our fellowship with God, but God is ever before us. He sees, He hears, and He knows exactly what we're going through. This text also tells us that God hears our prayers even when we cannot see His answers. The children of Israel knew that a deliverer was coming. They knew that they were supposed to be delivered from Egypt and taken back to the land of Canaan. And no doubt they cried out for that deliverer. Over a span of 400 years, you think maybe one Israelite offered up one prayer for a deliverer? No doubt they did. God heard those prayers. And God hears our prayers, even when we can't see any physical evidence of God answering those prayers. I want to tell you, God hears your prayers. God hears my prayers. Something else I learned from this is that God acknowledges our pain and our suffering. God cares. It does matter to God what we go through in this life, especially what we go through in our service unto Him. He hears our groaning today, just like He heard the groaning of the children of Israel from out of Egypt. And again, this groaning may be because of illness. It may be because of physical pain. It may be because of grief or depression or family problems, financial problems, however long the list may be, it doesn't matter. God hears our groaning. God acknowledges our pain and our suffering. Something else we learn from this account is that despite our pain, despite our suffering, despite our prayers, we've got to remember that things happen on God's timetable, not on ours. 400 years they were in Egypt. 400 years. God waited 400 years. You know, not only did God wait 400 years, but then He waited 40 more. 40 more because Moses was ready to lead them. Moses was ready to deliver them, but it wasn't time. And so he left for 40 years and then was sent back by God when he was 80 to do the job. Think about waiting 40 years. Forget about 400 years for something. Think about waiting 40 years for something. We know that things work on God's timetable and not on ours. Just like Israel had to wait for their deliverance, there are many of us here this afternoon who are having to wait on God's blessings. We would like to have them now. We would like to have the positive answers to our prayers now, but we realize that it's in God's time that our prayers are answered, because God's will has to be accomplished. And this passage helps us to remember that. And finally, God keeps His promises. We serve a God who remembers His promises. He remembers the covenants that He has made. We serve a God who is faithful. And His faithfulness is not dependent upon our faithfulness. His faithfulness is dependent upon His nature, His character, and His Word. In the book of 2 Timothy, at chapter 1, and at verse 12, "For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep what I've committed to Him until that day." God keeps His Word. God has promised us heaven if we will remain faithful unto death. And God will keep that promise. Knowing this about God strengthens our faith. It helps give us confidence in our prayers. It gives us perseverance to continue serving God through the trials of our life. It allows us to hope and to trust in God's promises. And it causes us to worship and to praise God for His great love and for His care for our personal well-being. We serve a God who knows about our suffering and a God who cares when we suffer. I wonder, this afternoon, are you a child of this God that we can read about in Exodus chapter 2? Have you come to Him in faith through His Son, Jesus Christ, repenting of your sins, acknowledging the fact that you can't do it on your own, but coming unto Him, confessing your faith, that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, submitting to the Lord in baptism, not your idea of baptism or someone else's idea of baptism, but like we studied this morning, what the Bible has to say about baptism. Are you a child of the God who cares about you? You need to become one if you're not. If you're here and you're burdened with a sorrow and with a trial and with pains, and you'd like for us to pray with you and pray on your behalf, we would be glad to do so, to join our hearts together and lift our voices in prayer unto the God who hears, and to the God who answers prayer, and to the God who is faithful to His promises. Whatever your spiritual need is, we invite you to let it be made known by coming forward as we stand and sing this song.